Shanti, and let us begin this session with a few moments of silent remembrance. And in that silence, we remind ourselves that there is the option. The option to use the divine intellect instead of the stone intellect. And with the divine intellect, it is clear what is the big picture. There is a physical dimension, the world of matter. And there is the invisible dimension. The dimension beyond matter. And using the divine intellect, it is clear that the real self is this invisible living star. Godlike in nature. One who belongs to the home of light. One who belongs to the Supreme Father, Mother, the Supreme Soul, one who belongs to a family, a race of subtle, invisible beings of light, unearthly in nature. Celestial beings, invisible, immortal beings. And from the home, looking into the far, far distance, is this tiny drama, a tiny puppet show, a story. Extra story. This alaukik being, the godlike soul, just enters the theater to kind of observe the puppet show, not to get attached or to own anything there, just to observe and to remind his other invisible brothers of the world beyond, of the Eternal Father, to remind them that they are also invisible, immortal stars. The awake soul knows the drama as an extra story. Knows he needs nothing from that story. more interested in the world beyond the story and in the invisible brothers and in the Supreme Father. Immersing the mind in that perspective, immersing the mind in that experience. Strengthens the eternal identity within the self. Strengthens soul consciousness. Om Shanti. Baba, in almost every Murli, cautions us about the power of Maya. There isn't a Sakar Murli that goes by where Baba does not mention Ravan and Maya. And so for us Brahmins, it is almost essential to understand exactly who is this enemy and what is this enemy and what are the tactics of this enemy. And of course, how to be victorious over this enemy. But say, for example, if at the drama level, there is some enemy, some thief, and you don't know that he is a thief. He is much more likely to rob you of everything. He's much more likely to leave you with nothing. And if you don't recognize him, you might even cooperate with him. Whilst he is robbing you of everything. This is even more true with Ravan and Maya. Because over a long period of time, from the beginning of the Kaparij onwards, Ravan and Maya have started festering in within our own mind, within our own consciousness, and we have completely forgotten that this is the enemy. And some of the things we might be aware of, but many of the things we might not be aware of. And we might still be cooperating with this enemy inside. We might not necessarily even realize it is the enemy. And so very useful to be clear in understanding of this. So let us explore what is this enemy and what is this inner kingdom that is being occupied by the enemy, that is being looted by this enemy. All the while distracting us with external things and things at drama level, but internally we are robbed from all the treasures. So let us try and get a grasp of this, going back to basics. And so basic understanding that Baba gives us repeatedly, is that there is a home and dimension of infinite silence and light and sweetness. that in that world exists a family of God-like beings of light, immortal beings, supremely pure beings, clean beings, peaceful beings, loving beings. And in that world exists the Supreme Father, Chuk Baba himself. This is home. This is home of the Father, who is also Mother, who is also our friend, who is also our companion, who is also our beloved Supreme. And this is like a invisible, eternal, silent civilization of spiritual beings, of perfect beings of light. Peaceful, pure, cleanly, unconditionably loving, blissful beings, free, playful, innocent. And these beings come into the physical world. And they come into the physical world to play. We come here to play. We come here to visit. These beings of light, they are guests. Or they are travelers. Travelers. Observers, silent observers. And when coming into this physical world, there is the association with a vehicle. And there is the need of a vehicle in order to be able to see, to use a mouth, to make noise, to smell, to touch. So the soul associates with a body. And through the body, there is the interaction with others, with objects, a house maybe, with nature, there's a tree, there's sun, and there are birds, there's money, and there's maybe a job, and there is religion. And there are all kinds of social structures. And there is a country and a nationality and I should not forget what is this. There are electronic gadgets, cell phone and tablet, and there is pizza and all kinds of things. Nice game. Nice play with all kinds of props. And so the soul is also an actor. Come and play a part. And that part is 84 births for the souls who are here during the whole time. And at the end of the 84 births, the curtain closes, the stage gets demolished, theater closes. So go back home. And then new drama. Drama starts again. Actors come again. Play the part again. And this is in a nutshell basics of what Baba tells us. Now, in this journey, gradually, we cross as if a line. And we cross a line into ignorance. We forget. Soul forgets. The self, the home, the father forgets the bigger map of existence. Forget that this drama is a drama. Confusing the drama and the story and the play with the real world, confusing the character with the self. Now, what has happened on that journey? Gradually, this ignorance comes in. And an easy way to say enemy is ignorance. But that ignorance takes on different forms. And so when the soul comes into the physical world, initially, everything is nice. There is a feeling of appreciation. One respects. Everything is nice. This is a nice game. There's playfulness, there is appreciation. It's nice. You play the game, you observe it. But gradually, to certain things, you say, I like. In the beginning, everything is nice. But more we stay here, I like this. I like. And after a while, I like very much. And all of this is still relatively innocent. But after a while, we cross a very important line. We know what that is. We say, I want to own. And this ownership, wanting to have, is where we enter into ignorance. Because the soul is a guest here. The soul is a visitor. Soul is an actor. We cannot own anything here. Not even the body we can own. Soul can use the body. Soul can appreciate the body. Soul can like the body. Soul can use the body. But soul cannot own the body. Because the body belongs to matter. The body belongs to nature. And once the certain time has passed, we'll have to give this body back to nature. It is not mine. So this illusion of ownership that comes into our psyche is like the first step into ignorance. I want to own. And then we talk a bit more of ourselves and then we say, I need to own. And so more this I need, we convince ourselves that we cannot be without it. Creates all kinds of complicated feelings. Anxiety, whether I will get it. So this moment when we cross this line of ignorance, soul loses its peace. Soul becomes insecure. Insecure. From this moment onwards. We want to own and we might not get. We're not sure if we will get. We feel we need, and we find ways to make believe that we own it. So we get it, and then we say, mine to it. But this only makes us more insecure because now I can lose it. And if I can lose, that is like a big burden in the mind. More and more we get into this spiral of insecurity. But we don't leave it like this. So this is what is called attachment. We create attachments. We want to have, we want to own, we think we need. Then we try and get it and say mine, and then we are insecure, we can lose it. But we don't even leave it like that. If we get it, we get it. And we say mine, then after a while, we start to identify with it. Not to give an example, a silly example, see these flowers. I came in here and I was okay. Then I see this flower and I say, oh, this is nice. This is quite nice, beautiful colors. And after a while I say again, I like this. This is very nice. I like these flowers. I really like them. Then I say, I want them. I want to have them. I want to take them. I want to say they are mine. And then I think I need these flowers to put in my room. I need these flowers so that I can meditate and feel calm. I cannot do without. I really need. When I came and I did not know about these flowers, I was okay. Now all my mind and thoughts are on these flowers. Flower, flower, my flower. I want it. I need it. I can't be without it. But we go a step further. Someone else comes and says, oh, these flowers are so funny. These are ugly flowers. They give me allergy. Deeper inside, if I identify, I can take offense. I've created an identity inside, connected with these flowers. And this is a simple example, but this is what we can do with anything. I can do it with this board. I can do it with the chair, with the table, with the camera, with this marker. We can create identities based on anything. Now, this identity is what is called ego. And it is false identity. Because the true identity, the eternal identity, is of soul. But now I feel I am the owner of this, or I am this body, or we identify with gender, or we identify with skin color, or we identify with religion. We might not even practice the religion properly. We might not even properly know the scriptures. But we will be ready to fight a war. Identification, or with some sports team, or with some artistic expressions, or music. We can create when an I based on relationship, on position, on possessions, on body, on people, on everything. We can create ego. Now, all these ego put together is what Baba calls body consciousness. False identities. And every ego has its own needs and desires and demands and expectations and questions and doubts. Now, in our inner world, a mind full of so many egos who all having their own desires and own demands makes it restless. And so over time, this is the enemy that has crept into our psyche, started occupying the mind and the subconscious. a false identity based on body, a false identity based on gender, a false identity based on position, on possession, on other people and relationships. More and more ego, and they have created a life of its own. And if ego has certain desires and they are not fulfilled, ego gets angry. If they are fulfilled, and there is attachment, then there is fear and insecurity to lose. And what do? Then we want more, so we get into greed. Desires around gender identity and experiences wanting to indulge through gender identity is lust. And so this whole spectrum of the gross vices is what is the enemy that gradually occupies more and more and more of your mind and the subconscious. And the original samskars and the original experience of the soul is pushed more and more and more to the back. And this enemy as if invades the inner kingdom, the mind. The ego. And so this is simplified, a map of the inner kingdom. And there are many, many functions carried out inside, but one is there is an experiencer. The soul. Is the experiencer, that function to experience. And the experiencer is like a king. Baba many times said, you are princess. And in the original experience, when we are in soul consciousness, this is the feeling. We are eternal, invisible, angelic princess. Beings of light who look like stars in that soul conscious awareness. But crossing this line of ignorance, we become needy, feeling a lack. We become beggars. Same soul, but this is the mindset of the prince. Royal being, full God-like being, belonging to God. This is the beggar mindset. Mindset of ego and many, many desires and needs. And so the inner kingdom is the kingdom of the soul, the experiencer. And there is intellect. There is the mind, and there is the subconscious. And in the soul conscious state, in the state when the soul comes from the home, all of this is pure. Godly intellect, the thoughts and the feelings that emerge in the mind are divine, and the samskars, the impressions, are of eternity, are of immortality, are of home, are of drama as a play and a game, are of peace, are of purity, are of bliss, are of innocence and playfulness and virtuousness. Those are the impressions. And this then uses the senses in a elevated way, in a noble way, uses the body in a noble way. So this is like the kingdom of the soul, the inner kingdom. These are the sense organs, the body, intellect, mind, samskars. And the experiencer experiences what is the thoughts and the feelings that are generated in the mind. And those thoughts and feelings are brought to expression through the senses. And it is as the intellect that is the guides. If there is a certain thought, the intellect decides, should that thought be brought into action or not? Should that thought be left in the mind? Should that thought create another thought? Or should that thought be discarded and another thought created? That is the role of the intellect. The intellect is like the vice president, you could say, of the king. And so if the intellect is wise, if the intellect is divine, it only allows those kinds of thoughts here. And thoughts are brought into actions, and then impressions are created. Now, over time, the intellect is gradually deceived. The intellect goes from here to here. And so, accordingly, the thoughts are like that, the actions are like that, and the impressions are like that. So, over time, these were the original sanskars, the eternal sanskars of the soul. Over time, the sanskars and the ego gets stored. The false identities gets stored in the subconscious. The enemy is invading. And now this enemy will also use the mind. This ego will create ego-based thoughts in the mind and will push these eternal sanskars, these original sanskars to the side. And then these thoughts, and because the intellect is more and more confused, doesn't know what is right anymore, this intellect doesn't interfere in the right way. So these thoughts are brought into action and it strengthens the false identities. This is the inner kingdom. Now Baba strengthens the intellect so that different thoughts and different actions can be performed. Thoughts and actions that will strengthen these sanskars, and then these can die. Okay. In the next session, we will go a bit more into Maya, which is the clever form of the intellect, of the enemy, the clever form of the enemy. This ego and these vices, this is like Ravan, the gross, the brute form of the enemy. But the enemy has a sly, clever form also. Next time we will go into that. Let's close with a moment of silence. And just reflect over this and understand the inner kingdom and understand this process of crossing the line. Now we have to come back behind, create light, see in clarity and wisdom. Empower the intellect with Baba's supreme knowledge. Om Shanti.